Everyone is on.
Introducing
Pretty Girls Love Real Estate. Stories of everyday women breaking barriers and building wealth through real estate.
Let's get it.
Boss. B-O-S-S.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Pretty Girls Love Real Estate podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Washington, and I'm super excited to have another young lady on the show this week. She is a realtor in the Bay Area, but she's from Detroit, Michigan, and I just want to talk to her about a couple of great things today. First and foremost, her name is Jasmine Ransom. Hi, Jasmine. How are you?
Hi. How you doing? Thank you for having me.
Of course. Thank you so much for coming. And so when I first connected with Jasmine, you know, we were talking about a lot of things that she had going on so far in a real estate journey, and she told me a lot of interesting stories. And so it kind of, you know, got my wheels turning that one of the things that a lot of people don't talk about in terms of real estate is maybe some of the ugly truth or some of the things that are not so glamorous, some of the pitfalls, some of the kind of things that you need to look out for and be aware of with real estate. It's not all, you know, everybody's cashing six-figure checks. It's not all glamorous life. It's not all good. So I'm glad that Jasmine's here because I want her to talk about some of the other side to real estate. And of course, we're going to talk about a lot of her wins and a lot of the positive things, but I just want to talk to her, you know, just tell about a little bit of a, you know, cautionary tale about some of the things with real estate. So before we get to that though, Jasmine, tell us like how you got involved in real estate and, you know, what's kind of been your experience to this point.
Okay. Started with him when I was around 16. And later I was like, you know what, I think I want to, you know, own property. I want to own my first home by 21. And I started creating like all these, you know, great goals and all, but you know, you go to college, get a little distracted, goals change. So I interned for this real estate attorney out of Chicago. And that's how it all started. It started there. And then that was for one summer. And then the following summer, I landed an internship with Deloitte. So for those who may know, Deloitte is one of the top four accounting firms in the world. I'm not sure if they're still labeled as number one or number two now, but they're part of the big four. I was in their real estate consulting division, and it was a really great experience. And it really opened my eyes to the commercial side and understanding leases and, you know, understanding all the different companies like CBRE and, you know, how they pretty much like come together and the difference of consulting work that comes into the big four taking care of, you know, some things for other companies. So I started learning quickly. I was like, well, I think this is where I want to go because I love being able to see and touch, you know, things. And I never in this world would have thought I was going to end up being a real estate agent. You could have told me I was probably going to end up in commercial somewhere, doing real estate consulting, traveling to other companies, negotiating leases, negotiating projects and development. I did not know I was going to take this route, but that's pretty much how it all started. That's how I got into real estate. And from there, it's been just going up.
Okay, cool. So how did you get from Detroit, where you're from, over to the Bay Area?
Goodness. Okay. So I didn't exactly come from Detroit to California. I actually still live in South Carolina. So I've lived a lot of places. I lived outside the country and I've lived in about 3-4 states.
Sound like me.
moving all around. It's like the best thing ever. But when I was in South Carolina, I applied to get my master's at a school in California, on Halt International Business School. And I ended up getting accepted. And I was like, okay, I'm moving into the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area. And I ended up going home for about a month. And then I came to California from there. So that's how I ended up in the San Francisco Bay Area. This wasn't just something that happened. I actually planned it. When we had the whole economic downturn, I was working on a project when I was in consulting. And we worked on foreclosures and bankruptcies. And I started to study the markets and see who was impacted the most from the recessions. And it was leading me between Miami and the San Francisco Bay Area. So I knew I needed to go to school in those areas if I wanted to get into real estate. And I really wanted to go to California. So when I got into the school in California, I was like, okay, I'm in. And that's how I ended up here.
Okay, so how was, I know you told me your first experience when you first became a realtor, it wasn't all, you know, like I said, cashing checks every week and doing all this glamorous stuff. Can you tell us a little bit about that experience?
Okay, it took me about 4 months to close my first deal. And I closed my first deal, you know, by, you know, joining a team. So I was on a team. And it was a team of three of us, maybe possibly like four, but mainly three of us. And the first transaction was $1.6 million. And it was a great experience. It was very eye-opening. But one thing I learned from that transaction, although you have a team lead, there are other players on the team who's a little more seasoned than you, and they can try to find ways to try to cut you out of the transaction. And what I mean by that is they'll say, oh, we're not contributing as much, or you're not doing such and such as much, just so they can, you know, take over most of the transaction. And being a new agent, sometimes you're like waiting for instruction. You really don't know what to do because, again, you're dealing with contracts. You're dealing with the, you know, having the best interest of your clients. And it's just so much that go into the transaction. And sometimes you have to respond really fast. And I didn't really know exactly what were the next steps. I was learning as I was going. And unfortunately, there were some things that were discussed, and I almost ended up losing out of being out of the transaction, honestly. And I didn't really truly understand how the commission structure worked. And honestly, I'm very grateful for that experience, because some people have all these grand experiences. Like, I'm cashing checks every week, I'm making all this money, and they hit a roadblock, and they don't actually know how to pivot and how to handle the situation. They think blowing up is the best way to handle things, and it is not. You always want to make sure you're able to keep, you know, calm, have some poise about yourself, and try to come to a common ground. And I learned that early on from having that run in with that one agent on my team who tried to cut me out of a deal. So that was my first experience.
And you know what? I want to also talk about, because a lot of people now are interested in getting their real estate license, and it's so funny and also not good that when you take like that real estate class, they teach you like very like technical vocabulary and like different laws about real estate, but they don't really teach you anything about how to be an agent, how to do marketing, how to just deal with the politics of being with a brokerage, how to select your brokerage. So that's a lot of stuff that you kind of have to just learn by doing and experiencing it. And then, like you said, when you're a newbie and you're working on the team, you kind of just are going with the flow of whatever your team leader is saying. And if they're leading you to a not so good place, it's like, that's not a good experience for people that are new. So what are some of the, I guess, advice that you would give for somebody that's really just green, they're just starting out, they have their real estate license, and they're trying to figure out how to select a good brokerage or a good team to be on?
Okay. For one, I want to add a little something in there that's past little bit of your question. It doesn't take much to be a real estate agent. Meet a heartbeat, take a class, get a license, and it's someone to build up a working car. Okay. If that doesn't tell you enough, that tells you you have to be very careful. There are all type of people in this industry, and a lot of people are very selfish and offer themselves. So I think when you're deciding to select a brokerage, look to see what they're offering you, because your brokerage should always be of service to make sure that you be successful. You want to make sure you ask what your desk fees are going to be, what your commission splits are, how much you have to bring before you can hit a certain commission split tier. How can you actually be involved in the community? Because as realtors, people forget, we're not just here selling property. It's our job, it's our duty to be fully, you know, rooted in the community. We're changing lives. We're impacting people's life every single day, helping them achieve their dreams and their goals through real estate. And people don't understand. They think it's, oh, I'm just buying a house, it's a liability. I listen to Robert Kiyosaki's and it's more of a liability than an asset. No, if you know how to move money, you know how to actually make real estate work for you, you can have tremendous, tremendous opportunity and wealth for not just yourself, but also for your family as well. And actually a lot of financial freedom, you know, to create opportunities for others. And I think that's what separates my brokerage from a lot of other brokerages, because they're really uprooted in the community. They're really invested in their agents, in the technology, having that one-on-one face-to-face. And people had to honestly be honest with themselves of what they truly want. I think for anybody who has a real estate license should ask themselves, do you want to go into the office? Do you like people? And I know it sounds weird asking to ask yourself, do you like people when you're going into real estate? But it's just like any job. Like, do you want to politic and network, or do you want to just keep things really simple? You only want to deal with your clients. If so, there are brokerages people like you. There, people don't know that there's a cloud brokerage. Really known, well-known cloud brokerage. They're trying to solicit agents from everywhere. They're offering, you know, stock options. They're offering so many things to give agents opportunity to, you know, accumulate, you know, multiple streams of income. But again, you have to ask yourself what it is that you want. You have boutique firms. You have the really large firms, you know. So people, when you go in the door to meet your manager, make sure there's a fit. Don't just go after the name, because when your clients hire you, they're not hiring you for the name. They're hiring you for your skill set and the value that you bring. And I think people tend to forget that. So if you want technology, go for the company that's with the best technology, but also make sure that there's a good culture fit. If it's not, find another brokerage, because you want to feel like home. Because I'm telling you, in the middle of a transaction is nothing worse than in the middle of a transaction, you have no one to call. And you have to, anybody in real estate should know time is of the essence. So
yes,
you should be able to have that sense of community. And I know in my brokerage, I love my company. And I work for Intero. So very community oriented. There's not one agent. Even if I can't reach my own manager, I can reach another managing VP and they will answer the phone for me. They will help me with a transaction. My transaction will not just, you know, don't fall apart. And I think that's the most important thing. People will tell you that, oh, this company is great. No, actually talk to top producers, ask them what they need to be successful, and see if that company can offer you that. Are there mentorship programs? There are just so many components that go into selecting a brokerage.
Absolutely. And I'm glad some of the things that you touched on basically is the power of relationships and networking, which is something we talked about before as well. Cause it's like, you know, people do business with people they like, people that they've built a relationship with. And you also touched on like the importance of kind of just building a pipeline. Like every person that you talk to and interact with is not necessarily ready to buy like right now at this moment, but it's important to just still continue to develop those relationships, because they'll ultimately turn into fruit maybe later on down the line. So you can just talk a little bit about your experience with that and kind of just dealing with people that may not be ready right now, but you know, those relationships paid off in the long term.
Okay, so I'm going to touch on a few. When I first entered the real estate industry, my uncle's an investor. He told me, never judge a book by its cover. So anyone who's in real estate know that if you're watching Selling Sunset, you're watching HGTV, anything you watch, people are going based on what they see. If they see you drive a fancy car, or you have to fly a suit, or you're a designer on, then you must be super successful. That's not always the case. But I would like to urge this. Be careful how you treat people.
Absolutely.
Be very careful. So just because a person don't look like they have it all together right now, don't mean that they don't. So I had one agent tell me once, I was telling this agent, you know, asking for advice. And he told me, oh, well, this person's like, they don't even have any money. Like, maybe you should just not even take them seriously. Fast forward, closed on this client. Oh, don't worry about this person. They must not, you know, be serious, or they weren't pre-approved. Fast forward, end up closing in cash 8 days later, to be exact. So people should, again, be careful how you treat people. Even when I've given other people referrals, I know people I'm referring you to, they're good. I prep anyone that talks to me. You want to buy real estate, you want to get in the real estate industry, I'm going to prep you. I'm going to give you the good, bad, and the ugly, because I need you to be prepared. I don't like to overpromise and underdeliver. Yeah, so I like to be really upfront. I tell my clients what they can expect when they hire me. If they're not ready to purchase right now, it's okay. Let's get you there. Tell me, how can I get you there? Because again, right, I'm here to be of service and I like to bring the value. And I pride myself on that. And so far it's actually worked to be working my benefit. I've had maybe about 5 people who weren't ready to buy 2 or 3 years ago. And now look at them during the pandemic. Everyone's moving money. Everyone's looking for opportunity. Even one of my friends, he hired me. I referred him out. Took him about 8 months to close the deal, but guess what? It worked in his favor. So it's all about waiting, having patience, and not trying to force your clients to buy things they don't want to buy, not assuming that because of how they dress, they don't have any money, because they're not pre-approved, that they're not serious. Again, you just have to get a sense for people. And even if they may not be doing the things that they tell us a serious client would do in the beginning, just put them on the side and say, you know what, I'm going to put you on my mailing list, check in with them once a month. That's all it takes, a text message, an email. Even if they don't respond, at least they know you're checking in. And before you know it, Jasmine, I was looking at this house. Can you take a look at it? I would like to read the disclosures.
Next right, I haven't heard from you days. In months.
Yeah, like 3 days later, like, we had a contract. You like, oh goodness, like this happens so fast. You just have to, again, I invest in relationship equity and I highly advise anyone else, be careful how you treat people. Make sure you invest in those relationships, because I promise you, even if they're not ready to buy, they have someone else who wants to buy. I had a client once who bought a house. She was somehow locked in a contract. Now, this is my fault, I will admit. So she told me her contract was over. I read it, and based on the date, she was no longer with this other agent. Well, anyway, she ended up buying with this other agent, and I had to tell myself, don't be upset. It's okay. It's okay. It wasn't time. And honestly, she was buying really, 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 really far from where you were trying to go anyway, so just let it go. Ask me how many clients has she referred me.
Absolutely.
So most people who want to have a fit, they get upset because their friend don't use them or their friends aren't referring them business. Trust me, your time is coming. You have to be patient. Mm-hmm. You have to invest in the future, not necessarily right now, because after you eat up everything that's right now, you don't have any reserves that's going to come back full circle in the future. So again, relationship equity, it's important.
Yes, yes, ma'am. You got to sow those seeds and then they, you know, grow into fruit later. Absolutely. So what are some of the things that you're looking forward to as far as your business in the next, you know, maybe year or so? What are you looking to get accomplished for yourself coming in the future?
So actually, I was looking into marketing. I used to follow this podcast a couple years ago, and really informative. If you're, you know, looking to be in the real estate industry, and I'm not sure if they're recording anymore, you know, it's called Real Estate Uncensored. Maybe you want to check it out sometime. Some really helpful things, even though you're an investor, like it'd be really, really helpful. And
what's the name of the podcast again?
Real Estate Uncensored.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, it's really uncensored. I'm just warning you. But it's an amazing podcast. So what I started to learn is, okay, how much money do agents spend on marketing? We're always marketing. We're always looking for a new client. Even when you're an investor, you're looking for someone. You want to buy their house. You want to do all these different things. So in my mind, why not start investing into ways that would produce me something more long-term and allow me to create a brand for myself? So do I envision myself being a realtor for the next 10 to 15 years? No, I do not. I would love to get into development. I would love to be a full-time investor. And I'm not just talking nationwide. I would love to do this internationally. And I want to be able to give back to up-and-coming people, because people don't understand real estate holds some of the most wealth. Most of the wealthiest people in the world gained their wealth through real estate. And I just want to be able to teach people and let them know that these are the ways in which you can fill your real estate. Anything outside of this, you just got to keep trying. It's a numbers game. Mm-hmm. Always accept no. Always embrace rejection. So my goal is to start a podcast. Hopefully my podcast will be complete, because I'm wanting to, you know, record some episodes ahead of time before I release it. And once I finish that podcast, we'll actually launch it. I would like to start working on another project, which I will start to get into investing. So I would like to go into business with one of my family members who is actually a real estate investor, so I can get started and start my journey to actually achieve my dream. So that's my goal. And that's something that I'm hoping to check off and say, okay, I actually started it. It's in the pipeline. It's happening by the end of the year. So that's the only thing I'm working on.
Absolutely. Yeah, you should definitely do it. I mean, starting this podcast has been one of the best decisions that I've made in a while. And it's been so like inspiring. It's been so helpful. It goes in with what we're talking about, relationship building. It's allowed me to connect with people like you. So definitely go for that. And I'm definitely going to support and, you know, obviously get our listeners to support as well. So cool. Is there anything else that you have coming up, either personally or business-wise, that you're looking forward to?
Let me drop the name of my podcast. So it's going to be called The Real Estate Kickback.
Cool.
The reason why I'm calling it The Real Estate Kickback, of course, we all know kickbacks are illegal, but it's not about doing illegal activity. I would like to state that first. But I wanted to go against the grain. I wanted to do something really fun. And I feel like people are starting to be themselves more in all industries. Like, look at tech. They go to work in t-shirts and jeans and flip-flops. They're completely comfortable, but they perform really well. I feel it's the same thing for real estate. So I want people to actually get a chance to see me outside of my glam and all my attire and makeup and, you know, real estate vernacular, and actually like sit down and have a conversation with me and like unapologetically and raw, and tell people what they need to hear about the industry. Whether you're an investor, a hard money lender, another realtor, I need people to understand that real estate is so multifaceted. It's just not one thing, and there's more room and enough access to it all, you know, for everyone to win. So Absolutely. That's what I would like my podcast to focus on. Also some current events, because a lot of us know we read some things, but we don't read like the news that are targeted in certain areas. And I just want to be that source and, you know, build my connections. And that's something that I'm definitely looking forward to. I spent a lot of time thinking about it, and actually being on your show and talking with you has definitely been quite inspiring. And it gives me the reassurance that I'm actually moving in the right direction.
Cool, man. So anything that I can help you with to get it started, or, you know, once to get started to help you further that journey, absolutely let me know. And that is a good point that you made, because I always want to talk about on this show, because obviously I talk to all women of color in real estate. So I got to ask, what has been your experience? Is there been any kind of, you know, trials and tribulations in your experience as far as being a woman of color in this industry?
I would touch on a few things, and people can say I'm in denial. They can say a lot of things about me. I really don't care. I mean, real estate has definitely forces you to grow some really thick skin. Okay. So most of the time I am the only brown face. Most of the time I am the only black face. I'm in a luxurious market.
Right.
Average home closes in San Francisco between 1.5 to 1.7 million. And after COVID, we will see if that price will adjust, and I'm sure it will. It won't be as high. And that's just for, you know, a two-bedroom condo sometimes, you know, or even like a one-bedroom. Just depends on where it's located. Even like a single-family home, you're still talking around those numbers, but it has to be something really small. Mm-hmm. Unless you start, again, it depends on the area you're in. Now you're in the two millions. So as a Black woman, I try not to think about race, but sometimes I can't rub it off. I mean, I wake up this color every day. I noticed the difference in the clientele. So people who may not know, realtors pick up our clients through open houses. You know, before COVID took all that away, we were going doing open houses for other agents. You will host their open house, pick up clients, tell them about the property, just so you can know, get yourself out. There's like a sense of free marketing. And I noticed people would like me, but they weren't trusting me necessarily. It's like as if they trusted another agent who didn't look like me. Is it that you don't think I would do a well enough job because it's a $2.8 million house? Or is it because, you know, you think I'm trying to double in the deal and work with another agent? I've had people say all types of really interesting things to me, you know? And it's slightly offensive because I've seen my other counterparts not nearly as witty, or, you know, I don't even want to insult anyone's intelligence, but they don't even have like the knowledge, you know, of some things. They're just literally winging it. I mean, most of us are typically winging it, but like I'm talking about truly winging it, and they're closing deals and they're doing stuff and they're doing like no work, and I'm literally doing everything, and I'm trying to figure out like, what am I doing wrong? And I just had to have a hard conversation with myself. Jasmine, you're not going to be everyone's cup of tea, and that's okay. You keep going. We are, and you decided to be a part of an industry where getting told no, you should give yourself a high five, because the more no's you get, the closer you are to getting that yes. So I had to shift my attitude and my mindset, and that came from listening to motivational videos, reading the right books and self-help books, and working on myself, and going to conferences like Mike Ferry conferences. And I had to truly work on myself and realize that, Jasmine, don't take it personal. It's like when someone get angry with you and they go off on you. Don't take it personal. It's something that they're dealing with on the inside. There are people who are going to love you, and there's some that aren't. So in my experience being a Black woman, I just feel like I've experienced some prejudiceness when the houses start to hit a certain level of luxury. And I'm talking $2.5 million and above. It's as if I'm not that agent. I'm not good enough. I'm not trustworthy enough. And it kind of like hurts because I know that I can get the job done. And when you hire me, you're not just hiring me, you're hiring a team. And you're hiring mm-hmm. a brand and a company that I work for. And I work with some phenomenal people who will not let me fail. So sometimes it's heartbreaking, but I have to keep pushing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, with any industry really, but especially in real estate, like, you know, we've, as far as Black people, it's a emerging industry, I guess, for us. So it's like, we've had to work twice as hard to get half as much results, like everything else. And it's like, yeah. I'm glad that this time in history, everything that's happened in the world, people are getting more educated. People have taken time to just sit down and really consider what's important. So I'm glad that this kind of whole, like, Black wealth renaissance is taking place. So it's really like normalizing financial education, us, you know, having nice stuff, being around, you know, nice things, and just normalizing being around luxury and having excellence has been amazing. So yeah, it's always going to be those people out there that are prejudiced and feel some type of way. But yeah, I always think about, you know, it's never our business what other people think about us. So you just got to deal with the people that believe in you, that trust you, and, you know, work with them and you'll see results. So it is what it is, girl. But I know you know you're gonna keep pushing, and you've been successful regardless of those folks, so they'll get their comeuppance in the end anyway.
Yeah, it doesn't even bother me. I'm like, you don't have to go with me, it's fine, someone else will.
Yeah, go with somebody else that doesn't know as much as me, but hey, it is what it is. You're lost.
Yeah, you're lost.
Cool. All right. So, anything else that you want to talk about that you have coming up, or any other things that you have you want to promote?
No, I don't have anything coming up that I would like to promote, but I would like to just shed some light on just real estate in general, just some little advice. I know everyone is scared because mm-hmm. it is here. Everything is uncertain, but that is the exact reason why you should put yourself out there and take risks. Yes. People who take risks get rewarded. And everyone's talking about, oh, like, you know, all this disconnect between, you know, the wealthy and the poor and the middle class, and is not being any. Well, guess what? For the first time, we almost all have equal opportunity to get in. Almost. I'm not going to say all, but almost. Mm-hmm. Because there have been some significant things that's happened that has forced people to pivot. And yeah. We have something others didn't have back then when the Great Depression happened. We have a good thing called the internet. And you educate yourself on anything called YouTube. Mm-hmm. So you can perfect and become knowledgeable in anything that you want. And I just want to express to anyone who's having self-doubt, stop doubting and go get it. Go get whatever you want. You want to learn blockchain? Go learn blockchain. You want to be in real estate? Go learn real estate. You need development? Allow yourself to be the student. Go find a professor. Allow yourself to be the student. Because somebody's willing to teach you. And somebody needs to work on their portfolio. Mm-hmm. And if you give someone that opportunity, you will not regret it. So a lot of people who are having doubts about real estate, oh, it's going to crash. I mean, whatever comes up has to come down. Why are you worried about what's going to crash? Go on and get yours now. Okay, you pay $20,000 more for something, but think about what the return will get you. People don't think about building equity, how you can pull equity out, build something else, you know, buy something else. They don't think about, you know, ability to have the HELOC, they consolidate debt. It's just so many positives that come from owning real estate. And I see people really dragging their feet in other states because they're so scared about the market. And I think that if you have a job that, you know, is giving you a sense of security, jump on it now while the money is cheap.
Absolutely. Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think, like you said, this is a time in history where a lot of things are changing, and there's no time like the present to get involved in something, learn something new, get outside of your comfort zone, because, you know, obviously whatever you may have been doing before is not going to get you to wealth and that prosperity that you want. So do something different, try to learn a new skill. And it's very prevalent that you said all of that, because it reminds me of Warren Buffett, and today's his birthday. And he always says when, you know, people are fearful about something, that's the opportunity for you to jump in while other people are scared to make moves. So Shout out to him, and definitely words can't ring any truer than right now. Everyone's scared of what's going on with COVID and all this uncertainty, but this is a time when people are really building generational wealth and building that foundation to change their lives forever. So definitely good, true words. So anyway, let's wrap up here, but I want to take us to the final segment, which is the Fabulous Four. So it's four questions that I ask all the guests. So just, you know, off the top of your head, whatever comes to mind. So go for it. The first question is, what is your favorite real estate book?
Okay. Favorite real estate book. The One Thing. That is my favorite real estate book. It talks about honing in and focusing on that one thing. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people tend to, you know, extend themselves and do too many things. And that's been my issue, like, in my 20s.
Girl, same.
My 30s, and I'm like, you know what? What is that one question? What's actually going to get me there? What does it take to actually get me there? And it may not be necessarily a real estate book, but it was written by Gary Keller, and he founded, you know, Keller Williams. So to me, it's a real estate book. If you don't understand, when it comes to real estate, it's a lifestyle. Anything motivational, you need to be reading it. Anything, you know, dealing with personal development, you need to read it, because this is a mindset. It is a lifestyle. And if this is not together and then this is not together, you're not going to make it. Because this industry is not easy, and it is not for the faint of the heart. So I love that book. I'm actually going to read it again. I've been reading so many books, and honestly, I can't think of a year that I've done so much reading. I've read 10 books already this year.
Dope.
And we're only in August.
Keep it going, girl. No, like, definitely, I think it's so true about that mindset thing. Like, you obviously got to learn, like, practical information, but you can't, like, nothing will absorb the same way if you don't have your mindset together to just be ready to take in all this information. So that's a dope suggestion. Good book for sure. All right. So the second question is, what is some advice that you would give to your younger self just getting started in real estate?
Okay. I'm going to go before I got my real estate license.
Mm-hmm.
What I would have told young Jasmine back when I was, how old was I? I think I was 20 or 21. I would have told myself, Jasmine, with all the money you just made in consulting, go buy your first investment property in South Carolina. That's what I would have told my younger self. And then I would have told my younger self who got into real estate and moved to California, I would have said, so don't you let anyone get in the middle of your head. You're out here doing things by yourself on your own. Yeah, they tell you, oh, to be successful in real estate, you have to be full-time and focus only on this full-time. Yeah, and then it set me back in a lot of other areas of my life. Follow that intuition, follow that instinct, and be willing to pivot and make moves. Do not be a purist. And I had to learn that from my friend. He kept telling me all the time, you got to use other people's money to get what you want and to be successful. It's like, how you think investors and other companies do it? Just, you know, if I'm going to take the risk and I put myself and diving on in because I'm a really big risk taker, next time I'm going to do better with my risk taking. But I wish the younger me, I wouldn't have been so bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and listened to every real estate agent that I highly respected and wanted to be like, when essentially they weren't giving me good advice. That was for my journey. They were giving me advice based on their own experience. I think a lot of us do that, but it just wasn't helpful, and it put me in some unfortunate circumstances. So I just really wish that I would have been more calculated, not took everybody's advice. I should have took out what was working for me, not trying to do everything. That's why I'm probably trying to do everything. I was like, oh, they said this, so I got to do this. No, I wish I had not done that. I would have had a little bit more poise, a little more calmness, wrote things out, and planned better. That's what I would have did, and then I would have just dived on in. I would not change my real estate journey for the world, but I just would have changed that one little part, taking in everybody's advice.
Yeah, no, I definitely feel you on that. Like, it's, especially when you're learning something new, like with real estate, there's so much information out there and you're getting it from so many different sources. It's like, you got to just, you know, absorb it all and kind of, you know, mesh it with whatever your own personal morals and your own personal vision is, and then just go from there. Because once you try to go in a million different directions, it's like you can be just stuck in the same place because you don't know what to do. So that's great advice. All right. So the third question is, what topic in real estate do you personally want to learn more about?
I would like to learn more about, there's actually two topics. So I want to learn more about the hard money lenders when it comes to investing. And the next thing I would like to learn more about is blockchain and how it's going to change the future of real estate, because I know it is. It's only a matter of time. So those are my two primary goals. Actually, right now, I'm really big into learning more about blockchain, because I'm not sure if you know, maybe like 4 or 5 years ago, a home was actually purchased on Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm. So most I think it was in New Jersey,
So I'm like, it's going to happen. Like, people are sleeping. Wake up, because guess what? I need to be, I'll make sure I'm on the right train. I'm not saying every trend that comes in is going to, you know, be a success, or it's going to change things like drastically, but it's really important to be informed. Mm-hmm. And I really want to be informed, and I want to know about all the options. I truly believe in being creative with anything that you do, whether it's with finance and buying property, moving money. You learn how to be creative, and blockchain allows that sense of creativity.
Man, listen, look, with all this stimulus money and everything that's going on with this pandemic, this like the move to cryptocurrency is definitely accelerated. So you definitely have to be knowledgeable about it, be ahead of the curve instead of being the one that's like behind. And you're in a perfect place for it. You're in Silicon Valley, you know, where you know a lot of startups and a lot of technology kind of gets developed. So that is definitely perfect situation. So for sure, we're going to keep an eye on what's the future as far as blockchain and real estate, because it's definitely going to be something significant coming down the pipe for sure. All right. So the last question is, can you give a shout out to another woman that's doing some amazing things in real estate right now?
Yes. I would like to give a shout out to at least four, if that's okay. So Nika Jenkins. I forget what real estate company she's with. She's in Silicon Valley. She's killing it. Another beautiful Black woman. And I actually had listened to her on a podcast. It was the Black Renaissance Wealth podcast, I believe. And I heard about her, and I instantly followed her. And I say she's kicking butt in the game as far as volume. And she has a family, and she's an investor. I follow her. I love it. And I find her to be such an inspiration. Tanya Patterson, when I first got into real estate, she's from Detroit, also out in Silicon Valley. She looked out and she gave it to me unapologetically raw and told me what it was like, not just wearing this color, but also working and being careful of your circle and who and how to put yourself out there to actually gain the business that you want. She also has her own her own real estate brokerage. So that was pretty cool. So I want to give her a shout out. And then, Tanarsha Brown, she's actually with my company in Tarot. We're actually a Berkshire Hathaway affiliate. She is killing it in the game. I think I've seen her close about 5 deals since the pandemic started, if not more. Completely killing it. Such an inspiration. Another beautiful Black woman. And Lauren Lyrics, not sure if you've heard of her, out of Detroit. Possibly Instagram famous realtor now. Happen to be also one of my sorors, but amazing, such an inspiration. And she inspired women everywhere, not just the fact that she has real estate, but she's always about marriage and building wealth and women being in their bag. Like, don't work to get your MRS before you start to accumulate wealth. Accumulate that wealth before you work on your Mrs. And you can actually have it all. You can have all of, you can have anything you want. And that's what I love about her. She's not on the whole, we're going to wear the designers and go out, have a good time. And she's like, listen, sis, you want success? Sis, you can have it. Let's go get it. Tell me how to help you get there, because I'm about to tell you how to be in your bag so you can make sure you have that generational wealth. And all those women I follow, and I want to give them a shout out and say that please continue to do the good work and continue to shine your light bright, because people like myself are watching you and you inspire us. And those days where I feel like I want to give up, or maybe I'm not walking in my purpose, which I feel like I am, but some days I have those doubts. Mm-hmm. I watch people like them and it gives me that inspiration back. And I'm like, oh, I love what I do. So, yeah.
Cool. Yeah, that's so dope. And that's another thing with this show is like just encouraging inspiration and encouraging collaboration amongst our, you know, Black queens and other queens of color doing stuff in real estate. So that's amazing. Shout out to all of them for sure. So anyway, lastly, how can people get in contact with you? They follow you on social media. How can they get in touch if they want to do any business with you?
All right. So actually I have an Instagram. My Instagram is under my name, Jasmine Ransom, but it's Jasmine with a Z. But it also is under COO status, as in COO underscore status. So you can find me under that name on my Twitter, my Instagram, Facebook. It's my first and last name. But generally, if you just type in Jasmine A. Ransom, because it's another Jasmine Ransom somewhere in Ohio, but I'm in the one in the Bay Area. It's me. You can find me there. Also, you can find even my contact information. My email is jransom@intero.com. Intero is spelled I-N-T-E-R-O. And my phone number is 415-506-9181. That's the best way to get in touch with me, and I will definitely respond.
All right, cool. Thank you again so much for coming on the show. Everybody, reach out to her. She's doing some big things in the Bay Area, and then also look out for her podcast coming out soon. I know I'm gonna definitely be checking it out. I'm gonna try to support it any way I can. So yeah, thank you so much for this great conversation. Appreciate you taking the time to come on the show. Just thank you so much for everything.
All right, no problem. Thank you so much, and have a good one.
All right. Have a good one. All right. So this was, again, episode of Pretty Girls Love Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Washington. And until the next time, see you guys later.